Okay, this is lesson 50. I am sustained by the love of God.
Yeah, that'd be great.
To see. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God is the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure a body identification. Having faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure a body identification. They are songs of praise to the ego. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. The love of God will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the Son of God, the child of God, you. Don't put your faith in the worthless. Don't put your faith in illusions. Illusions will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. The love of God within you is changeless. The love of God within you is forever unfailing. The love of God, putting your faith in the love of God, putting your faith in the love of God is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. I want you to listen to this sentence. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. It's a declaration of release. It's a declaration from belief in idols. telling yourself that it's through the love of God within you that you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea, I am sustained by the love of God, let that idea sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize it's the truth. And allow peace, allow peace, allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your holy, innocent mind. To let no thoughts disturb your mind, that is the kingdom of heaven. To let no thoughts disturb your mind, that's a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place where your Father has placed you forever. So, I am sustained by the love of God. 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 I am sustained by the love of God.
Teacher's manual. You have the book. And we're going to do the section that's called How Should the Teacher of God Spend His Day? So in other words, if you're going to do this, how should you spend your day? I'm going to read through the entire section, and then we're going to come back, and then I'm going to see if we can.
Okay.
It's on page 40 in the teacher's manual. You can also look at it almost like an extension of the meditation, so that if you're tempted to go unconscious, just know you're innocent. It's very challenging, it's very difficult for people to stay conscious through the reading of the Course in Miracles, so I don't think it's strange if you find that that happens to you. And I'm also going to read it as if it's talking to us personally. So wherever it has he, I'm going to say you. It says, how should you spend your day if you're going to be a teacher of the truth? To the advanced teacher of God, this lesson is meaningless. Because if you're an advanced teacher of God, there is no program. For the lessons change every day, each day. Yet the teacher of God is sure of but one thing. The lessons do not change at random. Seeing this, that the lessons do not change at random, and understanding that the messages do not change at random is true, the advanced teacher rests content. Because the advanced demonstrator or teacher of truth will be told all that his role should be this day and every day. And those who share that role with him will find him so that they can learn the lessons for the day together. Not one is absent whom you need. Not one is sent without a learning goal already set. And each one, and one which can be learned that very day. A learning goal that can be learned that very day. So for the advanced teacher of God, this question of how to spend the day is superfluous. How you should spend the day has been asked and answered. And the advanced teacher of truth keeps in contact with the answer. The advanced teacher of truth is set. And the advanced teacher of truth sees the road on which he walks stretched surely and smoothly before him or her. But what about those who haven't yet reached this certainty? Well, those who haven't reached this certainty, they're not yet ready for such lack of structuring on their own part. So what must someone that's not certain about how to follow guidance, what must they do to learn to give the day to God? There are some general rules which do apply, although each one must use the general rules as best he can in his own way. Routines as such are dangerous, because routines easily become gods in their own right, threatening the very goals for which the routines were set up. Broadly speaking, then, it can be said that it is well to start the day right. That's the first thing, is to start the day right. You would do well to start the day right. That's the first thing. Because starting the day, I love it. It's always possible to begin again should the day begin with error. Yet there are obvious advantages in terms of saving time if you just start the day right to begin with. At the beginning, it's wise to think in terms of time. Thinking in terms of time, this is by no means the ultimate criterion, but at the outset, thinking in terms of time is probably the simplest rule to observe. The saving of time is an essential early emphasis, which although saving time remains important throughout the learning process, saving time becomes less and less emphasized. But at the outset, at the beginning, we can safely say that time devoted to starting the day right does indeed save time. So how much time should be so spent? How much time you spend devoting to starting your day right must depend on you, the teacher of God himself. You cannot claim that you are a teacher of God until you've gone through the workbook, since we are learning within the framework of our course. After completion of the more structured practice periods which the workbook contains, individual need becomes the chief consideration. This course is always practical. It may be that the teacher of God, you, are not in a situation that fosters quiet thought when you awake. If this is so, let you but remember that you're going to choose to spend time with God as soon as possible and then let you do so. Duration is not the major concern. One could easily sit still an hour with closed eyes and accomplish nothing. One can as easily give God only an instant, and in that instant join with God completely. Perhaps the one generalization that can be made is this. As soon as possible after waking, take your quiet time. Continuing a minute or two after you begin to find taking your quiet time difficult. You may find that the difficulty will diminish and drop away. If the difficulty doesn't diminish and drop away in terms of staying in your quiet time, that is the time to stop. The same procedure should be followed at night. Perhaps your quiet time should be fairly early in the evening if it's not feasible for you to take it just before going to sleep. It's not wise to lie down for it. It's better to sit up and then go to sleep in whatever position you prefer. Having gone through the workbook, you must have come to some conclusions in this respect. If possible, however, just before going to sleep is a desirable time to devote to God. If you devote time to the truth just before going to sleep, it sets your mind into a pattern of rest and orients you away from fear. If it's expedient to spend this time with God earlier, at least be sure that you don't forget a brief period, not more than a moment will do, in which you close your eyes and think of God, think of truth. There is one thought in particular that should be remembered throughout the day. It's a thought of pure joy. Think a thought of the thought of peace. Think a thought of the thought of limitless release. Think a thought of limitless because all things are freed within this thought. You think you made a place of safety for yourself. You think you made a power that can save you from all the fearful things you see in dreams. It's not so. Your safety lies not there. What you give up is merely the illusion of protecting illusions. And it is this you fear, and only this, giving up the protection of your illusions. How foolish to be so afraid of nothing. Nothing at all. Your defenses will not work. But you are not in danger. You have no need of defenses. Recognize you have no need of defenses, and defenses, which is attack, will disappear. And only then will you accept your real protection. How simply and how easily does time slip by for the teacher of God who has accepted God's protection? So once you've accepted God's protection, all that you did before in the name of safety no longer interests you, because you are safe, and you know you are safe. You know you have a guide who will not fail. You need make no distinctions among the problems you perceive, for you know the Holy Spirit to whom you turn with all your problems recognizes no difficulty, no order of difficulty in resolving the problems. You are as safe in the present as you were before illusions were accepted into your mind, and as you will be when you've let your illusions go. There is no difference in your state at different times and different places, because they are all one to God. This is your safety. You have no need for more than this. Yet, guess what? There will be temptations along the way that you, the teacher of God, has yet to travel. And you have need of reminding yourself throughout the day of your protection. Now, how can you remind yourself throughout the day of your protection, particularly during the time when your mind is preoccupied with external things? Well, you can but try. And your success depends on your conviction that you will succeed. Now, that means you must be sure success is not of you. You must be sure success is not of you. You must be sure that your success doesn't come from your little self. But success will be given you at any time, in any place and circumstance you call for success. Now, there are times your certainty will waver. And the instant this occurs, you know what you're going to do? You're going to return to your earlier attempts to place reliance on yourself alone. Don't forget, trying to place reliance on yourself alone without God is magic. And magic is a sorry substitute for true assistance. Relying on yourself alone is not good enough for God's teacher, because relying on yourself alone is not good enough for God's son. The avoidance of magic, and what is magic? Reliance on yourself alone without God is the avoidance of temptation. For all temptation, what is all temptation, is nothing more than the attempt to substitute another will for God's. These attempts of trying to substitute another truth for God's truth may indeed seem frightening, but they're merely pathetic. Whatever you do through your ego, whatever you do through trying to rely on yourself alone, it has no effects, neither good nor bad, neither rewarding nor demanding sacrifice, healing nor destructive, quieting nor fearful. When all magic, which is relying on yourself alone, dependent on your ego, is recognized as merely nothing, you, the teacher of God, you've reached the most advanced state. All intermediate lessons will but lead to you recognizing that depending on your ego is nothing, and bring this goal nearer to recognition. For magic, which is reliance on yourself alone without God of any kind, in all its forms, simply does nothing. Its powerlessness is the reason why it can be so easily escaped. What has no effects can hardly terrify. There is no substitute for the will of God. There is no substitute for the truth of God. There is no substitute for the love of God. There is no substitute for the will of God. There is no substitute for the truth of God. In simple statement, it is to this fact that the teacher of God devotes his or her day. Each substitute for the truth, for the will of God, you may accept as real, can but deceive you. But you are safe from all deception if you so decide. Perhaps you need to remember this. God is with me. I can't be deceived. God is with me. I cannot be deceived. God is with me. I cannot be deceived. Perhaps you prefer other words, or only one word, or our favorite way, none at all. Yet, people miss the humor of the course. Yet each temptation to accept magic, what is magic? Relying on yourself alone, separate from God, as true, must be abandoned through your recognition, not that relying on yourself alone is fearful, not that relying on yourself alone is sinful, or not that relying on yourself alone is dangerous, but merely that relying on yourself alone is meaningless. It's an idea rooted in sacrifice and separation, which are two aspects of one era and no more. You merely choose to give up all that you never had. And for this sacrifice of all that you never had, is heaven, which is, of course, described as perfect joy restored to your awareness. Is not this an exchange that you would want? The world would gladly make this exchange if the world knew that this exchange could be made. It is you, God's teachers, who must teach that this exchange can be made. And so it is your function to make sure that you've learned it. No risk is possible throughout the day except to put your trust in magic, which is relying on yourself alone, separate from God. For it is only in relying on yourself alone, separate from the higher power, that leads to pain. There is no will but God's. There is no love but God's. There is no truth but God's. God's teachers know that this is so. God's teachers have learned that everything but the will of God, everything but the truth, is magic. And all belief in magic, all belief in separation, all belief in the ego, all belief in relying on yourself alone is maintained by just one simple-minded illusion that it works. All through your training, every day and every hour and every minute and second, must you, God's teachers, learn to recognize the forms of relying on yourself alone, separate from God, the forms of magic, and perceive their meaninglessness. Then fear is withdrawn from the magic, and the illusions and the fear go. And thus the gate of heaven, which is perfect joy, is reopened, and its light can shine upon again, again, on an untroubled mind. Page 40. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a paragraph and see if we can see that one of the things that I've learned about working with the Course in my 27th year is the longer you study, the simpler it becomes. It's as complicated as you need it to be in the beginning, because you have a tendency when you come right out of the world, the Course says, to not be able to hear something that's simple. Because we're almost educated that unless it's complex and you're learning complex concepts and ideas, you're not really growing. You know, like I was looking at a necklace the other day that a person said they had a little thing where it says 108 names for God to learn. And it was like, I want to learn 108 names for God. I just want to say God. But some people might need 108 names of God to hear God, and that's okay. I'm not condemning that, but it's just for me. I just notice, just make it simple. Let's just make it simpler and simpler and simpler and simpler. So the first paragraph describes how you're going to be when you finally get to the point that you really accept that you're not alone, and you learn how to listen to inner guidance. He calls that an advanced teacher of God. And he says when you're an advanced teacher of God, you don't even get up in the morning worrying about how you're going to spend your day. That's the first thing. So when you're an advanced teacher of God, there's one thing you're sure of, that your lessons are going to change every day. You're also sure that they don't change at random, which means what you're learning today was not chosen at random. And he says, then you rest content, because the minute you know you're going to learn your new lesson today, you also, when you wake up, he says, you realize that you're going to be told everything that you should do this day and every day. So when you really get in touch with your spiritual awareness, then you're listening to your own inner guidance, and so you know you're going to be told what you should do today. That's why you don't have to try to figure out what to do today, because your inner teacher will tell you what to do today. And it also says you don't have to worry about the people that's going to show up, because the people that's going to show up, they're going to be the people who share the role with you and help you learn whatever that lesson is that you need to learn today. So the people that come together with you during the day are merely the people who are supposed to learn the lesson with you. So we know that since we're here with each other today, in spite of the weather, we really had to learn a lesson together today. Okay? Then the Course says, and I love this, he says, no one is absent whom you need. So the whole thing about panning away about who's not in my day-to-day that I wish was in my day-to-day is an unconscious approach to life, because if you had a conscious approach to life, you realize the only people that show up every day are the people that you need. Mm-hmm. Nobody else shows up but the people that you need, and who does not show up, you don't need them that day. No matter, you might want them that day, but you won't need them that day. You know, have you ever had a lot of desire for somebody that wasn't there? Uh-huh. You didn't need them. It's kind of cruel to make you need everybody that's not there. Mm-hmm. That would be a cruel God that would set it up that every day depended on what you don't have. for you to be happy. So he says, so if I'm really conscious, then I get up in the morning going, wow, I got a new lesson to learn today. I know it didn't change around them. I'm going to be told exactly what to do. Everybody I need is going to show up, and everybody who don't show up, I don't need them to show up that day. Could you imagine how much more peace you have? Then he said, then you're constantly listening. You're in contact with spirit all day long, so you're constantly in contact with the answer. And so he says, you're set. He said, you wake up and you see the road that you're supposed to walk on stretch surely and smoothly before you. So you get up in the morning and you realize that the day is going to unfold. You got a brand new lesson. You're going to be told everything you need to be told. And everybody that shows up, they're showing up to help you achieve your goal. Okay. But what about us? Which is what he says in the next paragraph. What about those who don't have that kind of faith, don't have that kind of attitude, have not reached that level of consciousness yet? Well, he says there are some general rules. And he says apply them as best you can. Okay? The Course is giving one answer after another. It's telling us how you're going to look at things when you're awakened being, how you're supposed to look at things while you're still in doubt and uncertainty. So if you're in doubt and uncertainty, he says the very first thing to realize is that you're going to do the best you can. So stop beating yourself up about not doing as well as you think you should. Readiness is not mastery. Readiness is just means you have some potential for accomplishment. Okay? So do the best you can. Give yourself a break. That's the rule number one. Then he says routines become gods. He said, we make our routines gods. It's like you try to get a person to change their routine, they'll freak out sometimes. they're so in their routine, whatever it is, that the routine is more important than the thing that they set the routine up for. You know? So the book says, broadly speaking then, he says, the first thing I want you to do, if you don't have a lot of structure yet and you don't know how to listen to your inner guidance yet, he says, the first thing I want you to do is to start the day right. He says, if you mess up, it's possible to do start all over again. See how general that is? He says, but if you start right, it obviously saves time. See how logical that is? Okay. Then it goes, well, at the very beginning, since we don't know how to listen to our inner guidance all the time, says what you should do is you should think in terms of time. He says, saving time is what the Course is about. That's what I love about the Course in Miracles. It saves time. He says, substitutes for learning that might have taken thousands of years. But by the same token, this is the most challenging book your ego can ever listen to. Because your ego is the part of you that thinks it knows. And when it thinks it knows and it hears something opposite from what it thinks it knows, its way to handle it is to take you into unconsciousness. I'm going to keep saying that. You know, unless you're telling me the answer that I thought of, I can't hear it. Mm-hmm. But if you give me the answer I thought of, then I'm staying the same way I am. So to really have something new, I got to hear something different. But if it's something different, I might meet some resistance because it's not the way I already think. So I'm going to be inclined not to believe you. But I said I wanted to hear something new. Right? See, that's where the resistance comes from. Because it's telling us something opposite to what we may believe. But then we simply want something new, which would be different from what we believe, because we already know the result of what we already believe is what we already live in. So, he says, well, in the very beginning, if you're not used to listening to inner guidance, you want to start your day right and do the best you can. And if you screw up, you know you can start all over again. It's best to think in terms of saving some time. Right? Then it goes to say, well, how much time should you spend? First of all, don't see yourself as a teacher of God if you haven't done the workbook. Like I tell people all the time, there's no such thing as being a true student of the Course in Miracles and never do the workbook. Even though it's a popular concept among teachers, among Course in Miracles students, but if you're a true student of the Course, you know, you can't go to medical school and don't take the medical courses. You could hardly call yourself a doctor if you've never taken the courses. Mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't want to come to you. Don't come to my neighborhood with your shingles. I don't want to come to you. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way it is when you say, I'm a demonstrator and I'm a teacher of truth of the Course, but then I've never studied the Course at all, and I've never read the Course, and I've never done the workbook, but I know what the Course is about. That's not true. You don't know what the Course is about if you haven't done the Course, but it doesn't mean it isn't cool to come to classes, check it out, and listen to it too. So he says that you shouldn't claim that time until you've gone through the workbook, and then once you go through the workbook, you just do what you need to do from that point on, which means that once you do the workbook, you might jump around in the book, you might read certain lessons, you're going to do it your own way after you go through the initial structure. I just choose to go back through it again and just apply it over and over again. So before I go any further, are there any questions or comments or sharings or ahas about what's been said so far? If I can help clear it up in any way, that's what I'm here for. And if there's just something you want to share or a question you want to ask, it's fine with me.
I feel relief now because I don't have to feel guilty in planning out my day.
Thank you.
Now, because that was putting a heavier load on me.
That's what we always do. Mm-hmm. That's what I always find. It's like the Course's answer to whatever I'm going through is always requiring less of me than what I made up that I needed to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the book. It's like the more I study it, like people always recommending other books for me to read. Mm-hmm. And I very seldom do because I've never read a book that asks less of me than The Course in Miracles does. Yeah. Every book somebody gives me, it's always much more stuff for me to do. And it's like, I don't want to do more. I want to do less. You know, what could be easier than what he's telling me right here, that I actually be told what to do, I can listen to what to do, I can be guided in what to do, and it's going to change every day, and I'll be okay with that, and everybody I need is going to be there, and I can learn my lesson with them today. Thank you very much. That leaves me some time to go to a movie. But some of this other stuff people be talking about, it's a 24-hour day job. You know, I got 10 or 12 astroplanes to learn, and...
Yeah.
You know, I got some other stuff I want to do. I got to get to the cleaners. I'm telling you, man, y'all got to, you know, we got to decomplicate this stuff. Anybody, brother.
Like you're saying, it's so true. It should be something simple and not stressful because that's part of, you know, being in the moment and allowing the balance to really have, you know, a place of its own. But if you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you know, where do you find time to find peace within yourself if you just got all these things you got to go through and then you freak out at the end because you either didn't get some of them done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're beating yourself up constantly because of what you didn't get. And this is so incredibly simple.
Isn't it simple? Yeah. You know, it's what I call being an American.
Yep.
You know, Americans are the busiest beings on earth. You know, other countries think it's ridiculous how we absolutely never rest, never cool out. Everybody's busy all the time.
You know. It's good to be busy.
Yeah, and you're a slacker if you're not doing
it.
And heaven forbid you actually accomplish a goal and pause a few minutes to enjoy the fruits of your accomplishment. You know, it's like as soon as you accomplish the goal, you're supposed to immediately have a brand new one that you're seeking out before you've even enjoyed the one that you got.
Right.
You know, and so we've got to get away from that because the Course says that the reason why we do that is so that we can hide from ourselves and never hear our own thoughts. Because as long as I'm busy all the time, I don't have to really focus on what I'm really thinking and really feeling. So it's really a way to avoid yourself.
And how do you get time, like you're saying, to really integrate it if there's always something new? You're always learning something, but you never apply it.
Right.
It's all everybody running around doing this, talking, flapping in the breeze, and yet, you know, at what point do you live it and feel it and really make it part of your life where you're moved by it?
That's right. That's right. It's the same, the analogy that always, that someone showed me one time in a workshop that years and years ago, that it just stayed with me. He said the way most people approach the truth and approach learning is that let's say they want to build a house and they go to the hardware store and they get some hammers and nails and some saws and everything, and then they throw it on the floor and then they wonder why the house doesn't get built. Right? And they say, oh, I know what the problem is. I need to go get some more hammers, some more nails, and some more saws. And that's the way it is when we go, jump from book to book, from teaching to teaching. You know, it's like at some point you got to pick it up. You know, it's like falling in love with the instruction manual for how to operate your VCR. You know, but you never take the instruction manual and actually start trying to program it. But then you wonder why you can't record the program. And that's what happens with the Course and other truth teachings. People get disgusted with it and they throw it away, but they haven't actually tried to use any of the instructions that they saw. They're just reading the instruction manual was the same as actually using it.
Yeah,
but it's a place to start. It's a place to start.
They talk the talk, but they don't really walk their talk.
Yeah, because we're afraid of love. When you really find out that all those defenses is the fact that there's a part of us that's afraid of love, then it'll trip you. Because you think you're not. You think you really are not afraid of happiness, and you're really not afraid of abundance, and it just hasn't shown up, and the right person. The truth is, you're very afraid of all those things. That's why it doesn't show up. But then the stuff that seems to go wrong are just the excuses and the justifications for not letting yourself receive it. So now you've got an excuse for not loving, but the truth is you're afraid of love. And the Course is trying to remove the blocks to that fear.
It's about waking up. I found
I don't know, having my mom pass away, it hits home so much. It's like the Dalai Lama thing. It's simple. I told you it was simple. I didn't say it was easy.
Yeah.
I said it was simple.
Yeah. The Course says it's not hard. It's very different.
Yeah.
I like that line. Yeah, it's different. The Course isn't hard. It's just different. It's so different, people call it hard.
She would say, Jules, God is crazy about you. God, I wish you could see you the way God sees you.
Yeah.
And I'm finally getting, I mean, it's that we block that out from the time we were little, whatever we've been taught, you're not enough, you didn't do this.
Yeah. It's like your child not liking himself and then projecting on you that you don't like him because he don't like himself.
We're blocking our abundance.
Yeah, you love. We're all loved, no matter how we think about ourselves. We're all loved, no matter what we think about ourselves. But the problem is, you only see what you think about yourself. So then you miss the love that you're receiving because you don't see past your own perceptions, and your own perceptions are based on your beliefs. And if your beliefs about yourself are not loving beliefs, then you won't see the love, even though it's all around you. So our job, according to the Course, as saviors, is to see each other the way we really are, while we may forget who we really are. So I maintain the vision of who you are, and you maintain the vision of who I am. I don't forget it, you don't forget it, and then we're able to bring the reflection of that vision into our lives. And that's what makes us saviors. So that you see me past my ego, and I need to see you past your ego. But in the world, it's just the opposite. People just see you as your ego. Even when you try to forget it, they won't let you forget.
That's right.
You know, you're thinking too good about yourself. Don't you remember what you did? You know, like the ego person don't even want you to forget what they think you did to them. They see you forgiving yourself, they get upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you mean? You know you don't deserve to feel this good about yourself based on what you did in the past. So that's the difference between being with a savior and a crucifier. A crucifier wants you to remember every mistake you've ever made, and the savior wants you to remember that you're a holy child of God, that you're totally loved. And that, my friends, is why classes like this are packed with people. If it was a class telling people how sinful and guilty they were, and they were going to hell, and everything was bad, it'd be overflow crowd.
Even in the
snow smoke. And they'd be tired. Okay, it's so funny. It's much harder to get people to listen to loving thoughts.
Hmm.
People from the world, than to get them to listen to fearful thoughts. And so just to be here means that you all are far along the way. Okay? So let me go to the next section, unless somebody else has a quick comment they want to make. This is a pretty long section. I want to hit on some main points that it's talking about. Everybody pretty clear about what the difference between an advanced teacher of God and somebody like us that's just getting started? Okay. Now this next section is going to tell you exactly what to do. Okay, here you go. So the first thing to realize is that if you wake up in the morning but you're not in a place that you can really meditate yet because everything is crazy around you, you woke up late, he says, well, as soon as you can, try to spend some time with yourself, try to spend some time with God. The main thing to realize is how long you do it should not be your major concern. How much time you spend with truth, with spirit, with the Course, whatever words you want to use, he says, that shouldn't be our main concern, because we could sit still for an hour with our eyes closed and accomplish absolutely nothing. But if we could absolutely, sincerely take 1 minute and focus on love and the truth, he says, we could join with God and completely in an instant. And he says, perhaps the one generalization should be made is that as soon as you can, try to give yourself a quiet moment to focus on the truth. And then he goes on to tell you how long to do it. Says, now if you're sitting up there and you're trying to focus on the truth, and you're trying to focus on your lesson, and it starts to get difficult, at the point that it starts to get difficult and your mind starts to wander, just keep on trying for 2 more minutes. After it becomes difficult to focus in, keep on trying for 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. If after 2 minutes you still want to stop and it's difficult, he says, that's the time to stop. If after 2 minutes you find that, okay, I can go a little bit further, then you keep going. Everybody heard those difficult instructions? Difficult instruction is, as soon as you can, focus on your Course in Miracles lesson or some truth thought. You do it until it starts to get hard. If it gets hard, keep on trying for 2 more minutes. If the difficulty doesn't drop away, stop. Do it until you can't do it for 2 minutes. And stop. Everybody got the difficult instruction? Do it. Now, how many of us did that today? Okay, I mean, if you did, you know, it's all right. We're not going to smack you or nothing like that for daring to actually practice. But, you know, have you noticed the difference in your day when you do focus in on the truth first thing and in the day that you have when you don't focus in? It's as different as night and day. And those of us who haven't done it yet, what did he say? Do it as soon as you can. Okay, now who can tell me how long you do it?
You can't do it for 2 more minutes.
There you go. I know. Is there anybody in the room that don't know the instructions? Is there anybody in the room that can't do the instructions? Okay. It just kind of reminds me what the course says, matter of motivation, isn't it? Yeah. I'm so glad I reached my limit. That's one of the best things that could ever happen to me in this lifetime, was that I reached my limit. Because the course says you won't really be motivated until you reach your limit. Mm-hmm. And some of us reached our limit in some area. And we went, you know, I've had enough of what I go through in relationships, or I've had enough of this conflict. I've had enough. I got to do something different. There's got to be a better way. I'm not coming up with another one of my solutions another time. I'm going for it now. I've had it. Those are the ones who change. Those in general who not really miserable, not really happy, not really starving, can't kind of pay their bills, but they're not really behind. The relationship, we're not beating each other up, but we don't really have no passion either, but, you know, they tend not to do much change. But the person that goes, you know, I've had it, this is it, I deserve better than this, I'm not going to tolerate this any longer, that's the person who will get up in the morning, say, I'm going to focus on the truth, do it until it becomes difficult, try a little bit longer when it becomes difficult, and then if it doesn't, I love this part, he says, and if it doesn't stop being difficult, he says, that's the time to stop. So that's like spirit telling you, it's time to stop now. How do I know it's time to stop and I can feel innocent about that? Because I can't concentrate anymore, and I try for 2 minutes and I can't concentrate anymore. Which means your time with God might be 10 seconds. You might go, oh, okay, I'm going to say my lesson. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Okay. That's it. I'm gone. That's it. You know, 2 more minutes, I couldn't pull it off. God wants me to stop. Then I can get up and go out there and feel so good about myself. Did you do your lesson? Yes, I did. With God's approval, by the way. God told me to stop 1 minute after I started.
It's like you keep saying about perception. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We have the wrong perception. You're just sitting there.
That's what's so hard about this thing. It won't let me feel guilty. It won't let me feel bad. Like in paragraph 5. He says, then do the same thing in the evening. He says, when you come home in the evening, do the same thing. He says, but try not to lie down. Try to sit up and do it. Funny thing about me, I'm just the opposite. I can meditate better, remember the truth better if I'm lying down than I do if I'm sitting up. So he says, you have to decide what's best for you and use that. That's why my meditations, you know, in the class, I never tell you all how to sit. Because I used to try to sit in positions that people told me was meditative positions, and I would be so uncomfortable. I couldn't hear nothing that the person was saying. I couldn't concentrate on one single word. I would kind of wrap my foot around my neck some kind of way, and I couldn't get it up there. I was hurting. My butt was hurting. My back was hurting. God, I love God. You know, so for me, it's better if I'm just... Okay, I'm flat on my back. My body is not occupying my attention at all. And I can just go all kinds of places. So I'll say again, when you read in the book, when you listen to me, when you listen to the course, when you do anything, don't put what anybody says before the feelings of your own being. You know, in the end, listen to what I'm saying if you want to, but in the end, do what your heart says is best for you. And anybody tell you something different, I'd be suspicious of them.
Hello.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not the same difficulty with trying to learn how to meditate, because early on people said find a quiet space in a dark room, light candle, put on some calm music.
Yeah.
You know, and early on that was great for me to initially get connected. But when you're at work and people are throwing shit at you, or the hectic of the day is going, or some guys just cut you off in traffic, you can't stop, light a candle.
If you do, they'll arrest you.
So later on through this deal, I started practicing meditating all the time. Yeah. So that when those things came up, I could stop and start my day over. I could get connected. I could find my peace. Because when I found that the same thing with prayer, the same thing with meditation, the same thing with all that, when you get in a routine that leaves you in a position where you can only do it that way.
Yeah.
You find it more difficult when you actually
do it. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's the truth is always, I'll tell you again, the truth is always easier than what your ego is going to, because the truth is going to go with your natural way of being. It's not going to, and it changes with person to person as far as the form of how it's expressed. Like it says here, the reason why it's good to think about the truth right before you go to bed is because it'll orient your mind toward a pattern of rest. It's best to be thinking about God and truth and love before you go to sleep than the bill that you don't know how you're going to pay. You know, to go to bed thinking about the argument you just had that day does not orient your mind toward a pattern of love and a pattern of peace. And then you know it's your mind we're learning that's creating our reality. So the most important thing we can do is give ourselves peace of mind. There's nothing more important than peace of mind if everything's coming from your mind. So he says, well, think about God, think about the truth. It orients you toward a pattern of rest. Then he goes, and then the next part of it, he says, well, let me tell you what to think about. And he says, I want you to think a thought of peace, a thought of love, a thought of being unlimitedly released. So he even tells you, like, think about unlimited, being unlimited before you go to sleep. Then he says, the truth is you've just given up the illusion of protecting yourself anyway, because the more you wake up, the more you realize it's not your ego that's protecting you, it's your relationship to your creator that's protecting you, that it never was you that protected you, which I think is great. So he says, once you make that contact, the once you make that connection in paragraph 7, he says, your time slipped back very easily because you're not worried anymore. You're not worried about what's going to happen that day. You're not worried if you're going to be taken care of. You're not worried about if you're going to meet the people you need to meet. You're not worried about whether or not what you're supposed to learn is going to present itself. So the first thing that happens if you do this right is you stop worrying. That, which to me is great. He says, because you, he said, you stop, I love this too. He said, you stop trying to look at distinctions among your problems. In other words, you realize no matter what your problem is, that it's the same solution. Going within, letting go of the grievance, letting go of the fear, letting go of the sense of separation from God. So the minute you let go of your sense of separation from love, he says, then you're going to have a healing anyway, because that's the only real problem. It may look like money, it may look like health, it may look like relationships, it may look like the job, but what it really is you relying on yourself alone based on what you learned from the world that taught you you were separate and guilty. That is the root of all problems. So that, and he says, man, he said, then avoid magic. And what did he describe magic as being? Who remembers? It's relying on yourself alone. It's like, if you read all these self-help books, and there's nothing about the book that's telling you about making any kind of contact with anything greater than yourself, the only thing you're doing is inflating your ego in my perception. That's all you're doing. You're just giving your ego more ammunition to screw you up. Because without some link to your higher self, you're just going to reproduce what you produced before, only in a more complicated way. You know, that's it. You know, so again, it's very important to realize that your success doesn't come from you, but your success will come to you the minute that you ask for it. I thought that was awesome too. So the first thing you need to realize is that it's not your ego that's getting you what you want. It's your connection to spirit that's getting you what you want. That's the very first thing. And then he says, teach you want to know what avoiding temptation is? He said, avoiding temptation is avoiding the temptation to depend on yourself without going within to ask God's guidance. He says, that's the only real temptation. But then he comes back and says, you know what? But if you do that, it's not bad. It's not good. You're not sinful because you're doing all this planning by yourself. You're not bad because you're not trying to tune into God before you do anything. The only thing that's happening is nothing. Yeah, he says, totally mean. He said, you're spinning your wheels, but you're not really accomplishing anything. You're not really bad. You're just not doing nothing. And so then at the last part of it says that you get, you know, I want God's will in my life. And then the Course says, well, what is God's will? Well, the lesson says what? God's will for me is perfect happiness. So you go, the truth is with me, I can't be deceived. God is with me, I can't be deceived. And so once I realize that relying on myself alone and trying to do all this stuff alone and not really forgiving like I should and studying like I should and meditating like I should, the Course says all that means is that everything I do besides that is just meaningless. It's not bad. I shouldn't feel bad. It's just meaningless. And then the Course says that our function is just to make sure we've learned this. Like, I get up in the morning, my function is to make sure that I've learned that God is with me so I can't be fooled. That I have guidance with me so I could be told what to do. That I shouldn't be relying on myself alone. That as soon as I can, I should be trying to spend some time with my lesson or whatever. You know, that's what I'm supposed to be learning, that there's no will but God's. And God's will for me is perfect happiness, perfect joy, perfect abundance. And if I'm experiencing anything other than that, it's because of something I've learned, something I've taught myself, or some grievance that I need to let go of. And I'm innocent. So be it. So that's the end of that section. So I'm going to stop here. We do the love offering, and then I got a little thing we're going to complete on before we go back out into the lab. All right. So everybody can pretty clear about it as you spend the day? Mm-hmm. And did that leave room for golf? Yes.
Yes.
Maybe
not today.
Yeah. Like you said, I hear the truth. Instead of meditation music, sometimes I hear the truth better when I listen to Snoop Dogg. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't make no blanket assumption about that. Some people think being quiet means being physically still and physically quiet, but being quiet is an internal matter. It's not an external thing. So sometimes people think that people who are quiet and sit around like this all the time are the holy ones. But somebody partying and having a good time, they're not in a low spiritual level. But that's not true at all. That's not true at all. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
When you're playing, that's a spiritual place for you to be. If you're having joy, that's a spiritual place to be.
Joy.
So thank you for sharing with me and with Unity Temple, especially with 5 weekends of snow. It's like me and David are getting our faith tested. David and I are going.
I got this and going around here.
Yeah, good for you. Bag number two is coming around right now. Bag number two is coming around now.
Bag number two is for Earl.
That's great. That's great.
That is spiritual perception.
Mm-hmm. No, I've seen God take care of me in a way that just blew my mind. You know, I had missed so many classes because of the snow and this, that, and the other. It was the first of the month, and I'm like, well, I had gone to Memphis on vacation. I don't get no paid vacation, you know that. And I was like, well, okay, Holy Spirit.
What's up?
What's up? And it was just such an amazing thing to get back and say, well, you know, I'm sustained by the love of God. You've been taking care of me all the time, and that's what time it is. And I got back, and I went to get my mail because I had put it on hold, and I had received a check from someone that I talked 12 years ago that just wanted to send me a check to show their gratitude for some things that happened, and it was enough to cover what I needed to have covered, you know, and also there are other angels that hang around in my experience, mm-hmm. who shall remain unknown, with fur boots on, that help out a lot. And I have to mention you all too, you know, but we hadn't had a chance to meet. So what my point is that everything that this book has promised me about, if I would make my primary purpose in this world is to remove the blocks to the awareness of the love that I am and to give it, I've never not been taken care of. And this has been consistent for 20 years. And so a lot of times I just want to tell people, you're making it so much harder than it has to be. If you would just stop believing that it's you that have to do everything by yourself, because many times true students have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, as my mother used to say. They had very painful religious experiences and teachings and fears around God and a higher power. Now they throw away the whole concept of the higher power. They don't want you to say nothing about a higher power or God. And it's like throwing out the whole baby with the bathwater. It's like, no, throw away the old concepts you learned. Don't throw away the idea that you were created. There's something created you that's more intelligent than you that could guide you. And then people say, well, where is it? Well, it doesn't communicate to us the way we've been taught to communicate. We have to learn how to communicate with our higher self. And the Course is saying the way you communicate with your higher self is through no longer condemning yourself, feeling guilty. That's why it's always talking about, okay, you do it for 2 minutes, that's okay, it's time to stop. You can't do it in the morning, do it in the evening. See, love communicates in a gentle way. So to get real communication from spirit, we have to stop being so hard on ourselves, or we won't even be able to hear the gentle message, because we're so used to sacrifice and burdens and earning and fear that when something comes easily, it slips right by. So that's what makes it difficult. It's difficult because it's so freaking loving. It's not difficult because it's asking you to do so much. I just really have to change my mind about my value to even be able to read this stuff. Is that awesome? Will you make it short?
I got it.
Okay. All right. Because I really want people ignoring with all kinds of drool going down your face right now that you think you're awake, but you actually sleep somewhere, and we are all your own thoughts in your mind. But that's the advanced class. And the thought that I like to go out on is this. I am determined to see things differently. I am determined, and you don't have to even say that out loud. You can just say it to yourself silently. I am determined to see things differently. And I'd like you to take just a moment to think of a person that you tell yourself, if they would change, I'd be happy. If there was something about them that was a little different, then I'd have more peace with them. Do you have that person? If you can't think of anybody, use yourself. And say to yourself, I am determined to see them differently. Today, I am determined to see them differently. Now, I'd like you to visualize yourself right quick. As a matter of fact, a photograph of yourself that you like, even if it was in high school. And tell yourself, I'm determined to see myself differently. I'm determined to see myself differently. And then one more time to yourself, I am determined to see things differently. So that's a little bit better. We can do it for us. We got up out the warm clothes at home and stuff. And to reward you, we have cake. And we have, you know, we got beverages over there. So please, you know, enjoy what we have. Talk to each other a little bit. Maybe before you rush out, if you can, get to know somebody. And just know I love you. And I'll see you Wednesday at 12 noon or Thursday at 7 p.m. or next Sunday at 1. All right.
What?